Chapter 24. So your dinner guest was Mike? The boy Ron is trying to reroute before he gets into trouble with the law? Pat asked Jackie as we sat in my dining room, coffee cups in hand. Rain sluiced down the windows, and the day was so chilly I had a small fire going in the fireplace. Yes, Jackie said. And you know, he's not a bad kid. He was nervous, of course, anxious not to spill or break anything. But he was quiet and plainly looks up to Ron. I held my coffee cup out of the way as Penny jumped onto my lap. A caring adult can make a world of difference in a child's life, I said. Do you ever wonder about the background of criminals? I asked nobody in particular. I do. I mean the hardened serial type. Where did they go wrong? Did they have nobody to love them? Or does it take more than love to keep a young person from getting off to a bad start? I think Cade's daughter Marianne is a prime example of the importance of a caring father. Marianne was still a child when Lena left her and Cade. But under Cade's supervision, Marianne grew to be a wonderful young lady, Pat said. Cade and I have talked some about her, and about Lena too, I told them. I know he misses Marianne. I've never met her. You'll love her, Jackie assured me. She's been on the mission field for so long. She has probably changed since I last saw her, but I'm sure she's still a sweet girl. I was curious about Cade's marriage, but I would never question him. He would tell me what he wanted to tell me, and I determined not to push him. We sipped our coffee, listening to rain pounding and an occasional clap of thunder. A stick in the fireplace burned in two, sending a shower of sparks up the chimney. I don't think any one particular reason causes a person to get in trouble, Pat said. It may be a bunch of things, or wrong decisions, or a faulty view of life. I think everyone has a choice, and basically knows when he chooses to do wrong. Each person is responsible for his own actions, and blaming society or circumstances is just an excuse. A particularly hard clap of thunder caused us to jump. Did you ever see such a stormy month? Pat asked. I wonder if it has to do with the two full moons this month. March, is this the reason that you're such a restless thing? You're not at home with winter, and you're not at home with spring, I quoted from a poem I had learned in childhood. Isn't tomorrow the funeral for Miss Carver's housekeeper, Lila? Jackie asked. It is, I said. However, I don't plan to go. I didn't know the woman. I have other plans. You know, Judson Carver's irrevocable trust has disappeared. Ron thinks it may be somewhere in the mansion. Ned, Pat said, what are you planning? Please don't tell me you are going to break into that house. Sometimes my friends amazed me. Of course not, I said. There may be someone there. I'd like to take food, maybe a casserole or a salad. Usually someone stays behind to greet visitors or answer the phone. If I took a dish or something, I might be able to talk to someone and learn a bit more. About what? Jackie asked. Are you planning to ask if someone is ready to confess to Miss Evangeline's murder? Shaking my head, I said, I don't think anyone who would kill a helpless old woman would be bothered too much by a conscience. I thought perhaps in the absence of the family, there might be a gossipy neighbor who wouldn't mind talking to me. I don't know that family. Just impressions of them are all I have. But I'd really like to find out if anybody is even aware that Judson Carver made a trust once, long ago, and that nobody knows what he did with it. Jackie narrowed her eyes. Are you considering maybe doing a personal search? I think that would be like looking for a needle in a haystack. You don't know if a trust is still in existence. And if it is, you have no idea where it might be. The Carver house is mighty big and mighty old, and probably has a lot of possible hiding places. My friend's lack of enthusiasm was dampening my spirits. Of course, you're right, I said meekly. Surely you wouldn't go inside that empty old house if no one is there, Pat said, her eyes as big as saucers. It may be fabulous, but it gives me the creeps. You wouldn't think of prying up a window to get in or something crazy, would you? Well, rats, of course not. I have a healthy respect for the law. The luncheon is in just a couple more days, Jackie said. You'll have ample opportunity to talk to the Carver women then. Subdued, I nodded. Yes. It looks like the rain isn't letting up, Pat said. I plan to stop at Cora D's on the way home, so I'd better be going. Remember, Ned, don't do anything foolish, okay? Okay, I agreed, feeling hurt that they would suspect me of such a thing. I walked with them to the door. Where is your sense of adventure? I asked. One for all and all for one. The girls I remember were always ready for an exciting excursion. Pat grinned and gave me a hug. When we were young and foolish, we weren't afraid to jump in where angels fear to tread. But we're older now and wiser, Jackie added. Just stay away from the Carver Mansion, Ned. I waved as they drove off through the rain. True, my idea was a foolish one. Why should I think I could find a document that had been hidden by a devious old man years ago? However, if given the chance, Lila's funeral would sure be a good time to look.